Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Thanks again, Audrey, for getting us started on the show. We could not do it without you. I've said that many times, and of course, it is the truth. Sorry, folks, I haven't been on for a couple weeks. I've been living in a dumpster. No, I haven't. That's our green tip for tonight. Have you heard about the professor down in New Orleans who wants to help save the planet? He wants to use 1% of the total space that most of us use, like in a house, at least the average living space. So he's going to live in a Dempsey dumpster for a year. Well, it's hard to prepare lectures in a dumpster. I wonder if he's got a computer in there, though. That'd be bad reception. Who knows? But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Network and the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm your host, Keith Haley, and we want to thank all of our usual crew, Audrey England, of course, who introduced our show, Mike Serrano, technical expert, Lucy Spears, one of our researchers, and they all kind of share all kinds of things. But thank you very much for getting us on the air one more time. And the purpose of this one-hour little event is the discuss news issues and developments in this field of criminal justice. And I think you'll enjoy this tonight. We did this a couple of years ago, maybe not even that far back, at least for a week or two. We're going to use another old-time gangbuster show. And as a gangbusters old-time radio, and I don't know if you know much about gangbusters, but let me explain something before we get started with it here later on in the show. Gangbusters, every episode was based on a real case. Now, a lot of people say that, but Gangbusters was. Every radio episode of 22 minutes was based on a real case. And once in a while, that information was used to capture criminals later on. And Gangbusters will mention tonight, the show will mention, an Ohio sheriff who caught somebody based on what he found out from Gangbusters. And interesting. So, you know, when they say it was really based on a real criminal event, it actually was. So tonight is the Chicago Tunnel Gang, and they have crime in Chicago, don't they, Audrey? I've heard. Yes. Yes, they do. They have crime in Chicago. But anyway, we dedicate this show to the police, corrections, and juvenile justice and court professionals who work very hard to get the job done. What we try to do is look inside criminal justice practice. We can even do it with fictitious shows or shows that are based on actual crimes, and that's what we're doing tonight. And we're listening on Blog Talk Radio. I don't use as much of it as I could, and I don't market the show. I don't like to do that a lot, but we might upgrade extra money. We might do that later on, but you can have your own show in 3 minutes. I'm not kidding. People have done it. You log in, you get your own show, you can start broadcasting worldwide in your own radio show. And when you look at the Blog Talk Radio shows, I don't know how many thousands of them there are now, you'll see celebrities on there that have their shows, news people, all kinds of people that you will recognize their names, and they're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. You can do it too. So any person, any interest group can have their own show, stream an audio over the Internet worldwide to an unlimited number of listeners. That's important also. I don't know how he does it, but Alan Levy was the genius behind this particular medium. So I was worried about Johnny Cash riding around in those trucks all over the country. My gosh, with all this weather. I know, I shouldn't talk about the weather. You're sick of it. I am too. But anyway, it's breaking for us up here in Northwest Ohio. Finally, we're getting a melt and temperatures above freezing and all that. And it's kind of mild the way it's breaking up. People worried about that also. But we had charcoal return down here in our major intersection of two state routes, tractor trailer. It was carrying 32,000 pounds of lawnmowers. Ooh, that's a lot. And then I just heard one up around Toledo where somebody from Michigan was killed. I think he was from Michigan, was killed by a tractor trailer, hit him like head on. Maybe the truck was from Michigan. But look out for trucks. I mean, I respect what they do. It's a very difficult job. But some of these characters are in a real hurry. And time is money in that business. But they also need to be careful. So anyway, enough of all that serious stuff. Audrey found me a blonde joke tonight, and I'm just going to read this one. This is a really cool blonde joke. A robber runs into a store, and he steals a TV set and starts running out the door. And the young blonde clerk runs after him and says, hey, wait a minute. You forgot the remote. You forgot the remote? If this would be a research project for someone, I wonder how many blonde jokes there are. Does anybody have any idea? I'm guessing millions, literally. At least, it's over a million. Wouldn't you say, Mike? I think so. At least a million different blonde jokes. Ladies and gentlemen, even this year, I'm going to comment on a news story here on something that just came out about gun manufacturing. But the Ohio Coalition Against Firearms would like you to take your guns and turn them in. And we're going to play their public service announcement, and I'm sure it's been successful over the years, but we'll play it one more time. If you have a firearm, take it down and turn it into the police. You don't need it.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
I mean, we can add also, those of you who have a concealed carry license, you should turn that thing. You should turn that thing in. Well, I've already told you what the green tip was for tonight. Find a Dempsey dumpster to live in. Speaking of green tips, have you seen all the television advertisements on with the Olympics and other times about saving energy? Energy.gov, please go to that site. You will not believe how many I think I counted like 61, don't quote me on that figure, different offices, settings across the country, research facilities on energy saving. And on television, they'll give you tips like when you leave your house, turn your temperature down. I think I'll do that when the president does that in the White House. When he turns his temp down, I think I'll be doing that myself. But, I mean, on and on and on about some of the craziest things I've ever heard of. And, you know, who's running the big calculator up in the sky that's telling us we're saving energy? I mean, you do this, it causes that, this causes another thing, that causes three other things. I mean, how in the world do we keep track of it to start with? But we have quote-unquote scientists who take care of that kind of thing. All right, let's look at some criminal justice news here before we get to the main part of the show. We had an interesting case right here in this small community in Northwest Ohio. This was in our news here today. And the police are currently investigating a report of a man who entered a house down on Hudson Street with a knife, and he did it in the afternoon. And the police said that a woman in the 200 block of this Hudson Street, he came in with a knife and he wanted money. And she got her gun out and he left. She told him to leave and he took off. No kidding. Isn't that a brilliant idea? I mean, what an idea. A firearm, and we have almost 300,000 people a year who use a firearm to ward off a felon, and over 97% of the time they don't shoot them. They just take off because they don't want to be killed. But think of what might have happened to that woman, and she had a child there, a small child. We're home. Had they not done? They're still looking for the guy. He's in a hoodie, and they had a dog there, by the way, a scent dog that tracked his scent for a while, picked up a scent, but then they lost it. So who knows? But that's interesting. Here's another news story that's really being kept quiet, actually. It's about the shortage of the execution drugs. You've probably heard about that before, but Missouri's got somebody that's supposed to be scheduled here on, what is his date? Anyway, it's in a week or so. He's going to be executed, and he's suing because the scarcity of drugs for lethal executions has forced states to substitute. And what they're actually doing is suing the pharmaceutical companies also. So this apothecary shop in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they're being sued. His name is Michael Taylor. Should he be executed? He only raped and killed a 15-year-old Kansas City girl in 1989, and this character is still living. He wasn't tried in Texas or Oklahoma, that's for sure. We would have waved goodbye to him a long time ago. But they used to pay about $8,000 a shot for this dose of this pentobarbital, whatever that is. I'm not a medical person at all, and so it's they're in a tizzy here about what to do. Suppliers are the European suppliers stopped selling because they didn't want the bad publicity. And of course, European Union's against the death penalty. But some states have written into their law, I don't know how many it is now, but they have a backup plan, because if the first one's declared illegal by a court case, then you can go to your backup plan and execute the person on schedule. I wouldn't say this guy is supposed to be committed his crime in 1989. Of course, I don't know when he was picked up, but probably pretty quick. Whether he should be executed, but they'll have the firing squad. I think one or two states have the firing squad as a backup method. And remember that one crazy guy that we caught here in the 90s and blew up Oklahoma City and all that stuff? They executed him by. Was he executed by firing squad and federal execution? Right. Firing squad always works. Isn't that interesting? It always works. So anyway, that's the story about how to get people executed with drugs. And of course, we try to make that as humane as possible. But what's happening is that if you can't get the drugs to do it, it may not look as humane, but I think the firing squad ends up pretty quick. So let's take a look at some of these other stories. Speaking of gun manufacturing, U.S. gun makers led by Ruger & Company and Smith & Wesson turned out a record number of firearms in 2012. This is government data. It comes from the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, continuing a trend of robust production during Democratic presidencies. More than 8.57 million guns were produced in 2012. That's up 31% from 2011. Can you believe that? 31%? And, of course, the president should be happy because, what, this is shovel-ready jobs. No, excuse me, maybe trigger-ready jobs. Trigger-ready jobs. Almost as many guns, 26 million, were produced during Democrat Barack Obama's first term as president as during the entire 8-year presidency of his Republican predecessor, George W. Bush. And what's the reason for that? You can guess. People think that Democratic presidents are more willing to limit firearm sales than the Republicans. And, they tried to steal Obama stayed clear of it for a while. He pressed unsuccessfully last year for stricter gun measures, and they didn't make it. So anyway, of course, they're all nuts about this assault weapon, but don't even get me started on it. People couldn't even spell assault weapon, let alone tell you what it is. They look at some ugly gun and they say, boy, that's an assault weapon. And well, it may or may not be, because you got other guns that look real nice and they'll do essentially the same thing. Anyway, that's the story of gun production. I couldn't believe this one today. There's something new in psychology. They always have to find a new way to make a living, right? And I always tell my psychologist friends, if you know so much, fix something. Anyway, this guy, this was in the Chronicle Higher Education, he goes into a conference on Society for Personality and Social Psychology. And this is now called Embodied Cognition. They do research on embodied cognition, the idea basically that the body strongly influences the mind, in some ways, yes, some ways not. And they found out interesting kind of things, that people gripping a warm cup of coffee judged others as having a warm personality. They found out that people holding heavy clipboards are more likely to disagree with weak arguments than people holding light clipboards. I'm not kidding, folks. This is real. And they also found out, this is a study at North Dakota State University, research suggesting a strong connection between acting sweet and eating sweets, between cupcakes and kindness. In other words, if you eat a Hershey bar, they even tested that. There's a study in here, I won't go through it, where they tested giving people Hershey bars, and they were nicer people, as opposed to what they got, how they acted when they had salty or sour food. I'm telling you, what is next? I can't believe it. This is kind of a funny one, but serious. Colorado State Representative accidentally left his loaded gun in the Capitol building in Denver after a debate on concealed handgun permits. Yeah, he's Representative Jared Wright. He left the gun in a canvas bag under the table where lawmakers sit. He is a peace officer. In other words, he's a cop. And he's carries a weapon on the floor, and he's entitled to do that as a law enforcement peace officer. And most people don't know, a peace officer is the highest level of law enforcement officer you can be in a state. There are lots of other kinds of law enforcement officers, but they're not peace officers, but full state authority. He served 4 years with the Fruita Police Department. He says, I feel it's my duty to be a first responder wherever I am. That's why I carry. And the governor contacted him, and Governor Hickenlooper, Governor Hickenlooper called him and said that he agreed to be more careful and to stop carrying the gun inside the building. But that's an issue a lot of places where they, you know, should cops be carrying off duty. Some departments, I think, still make you carry off duty. Back in the Ice Age, when I was a police officer, you had to carry off duty. And other places give you the choice, and then some say no. But that's a small amount. I guess if you wanted somebody to help you, and he was a cop, you'd want to be able to respond like a cop, right? Have you heard the story about the guy up in, Milwaukee that lost the $15 million Stradivarius violin? Well, now they've caught a man. One of the guys accused in the theft of the priceless Stradivarius says he was forced to carry out the crime by an Asian crime gang that threatened his family. I won't play the audio. I was going to play the audio for you, but isn't that interesting? He said he was forced to do that. And this guy uses this violin, by the way, to play at concerts. I know he wants to sound good, but does he have to sound that good? Walking around with a $15 million Stradivarius violin. I think the thing, don't quote me, I dumped the article, was like 16th century or 17th century, something like that. Unbelievable. Here's another gun issue. The Minnesota Vikings are apparently going to leave their stadium and build a new one. And in the new stadium, they are not going to allow off-duty peace officers, cops, to carry a firearm in the stadium. And the Peace Officers Association in Minnesota and other states and places have said, you know, what the heck's wrong with you? You want cops to be cops. In fact, the head of the Cleveland Police Union said in October that after the league introduced the rule, you never know what's going to happen, do you? And you want cops to act like the cops. So in Minnesota, officers have a choice to be armed or unarmed in their off-duty hours. But when you go to a football game, you know, I think on a great big supersized crowd, that might be a place to actually have a gun, right? Anyway, we'll see how that works out. How crazy is the world getting? How about this one for a news story? If you got the money and you're going to visit a big city, New York, Chicago, whatever, New York, this guy come up with a new idea, and this company is named Posh Stow and Go, Pay Toilet Service. A New York company has started marketing what amounts to be an upscale pay toilet service. So if you're downtown, you know, Times Square and New York City or something like that, they're going to offer you a clean, safe, and soundproof bathroom worthy of the greatest city in the world, they said. It's going to have luxury showers and private storage rooms. Now, you can't sleep and live in it, I don't think. How would they stop it? But it's $8 a day, and they start at $24 for a three-day pass. I'm not kidding. You can get your own toilet in New York City. And I haven't tried to use the restroom in New York City in a very long time, but I suppose that could be complicated. But here's the lack of clean and comfortable public restrooms in major American metropolitan areas. It's an issue that's been raised for years, and this company, Plush, here's another one, Plush, like P-H-L-U-S, Flush, Public Restroom Advocacy Group. It's an advocacy group lobbied for them in Portland, Oregon. And to get pay bathrooms, that's incredible, isn't it? Okay, guess what? We now know that sitting too much called sitting disease, may increase the risk of disability in people over age 60. So 2/3 of the waking time of adults is spent being sedentary, roughly 9 hours a day. And this is going to substantially increase the risk of all kinds of problems, and you need to get up and move. And I'm going to help you with that because very soon I'm going to have a book out. It's kind of a little bit of humor in it, but it's as serious as it can be. It's going to have 10 exercises in it that you can watch, you can perform while you're sitting and standing in front of your television set, and you will never miss a minute of television. I'm actually going to try to market this book. I usually don't do that. Books usually market themselves, especially my textbooks in the criminal justice field. But anyway, they don't actually market themselves, but the big publishers do it. But I want to get on television. I'm so sick of seeing these diet and exercise programs and plans after January, the first of the year every year. And we actually saw one once not too long ago where a woman got on television and got down and did a half push-up. And on the three TV hosts from the TV channel were just amazed. She was showing them how to do a half push-up, not even going all the way down. Well, I'm going to show you 10 exercises. The book is going to be called Watch TV and Get Fit Too, and it will work. By the way, have you heard of the Brazilian buttock master? The Brazilian, excuse my French, butt master? We have gone nuts on this physical exercise junk. And if I see another Nutrisystem ad, I think I'm actually going to throw up. But anyway, mine will be coming out, but guess what? You shouldn't be just sitting. No kidding. College degrees in prisons didn't go away in all kinds of places, but when they stopped the Pell Grants in 1994 for prisoners, many higher education programs in prisons stopped. But New York State Governor Cuomo, a Democrat, announced Sunday that the state would start supporting college degree programs at state prisons. And you know, the big thing about prisons, you aren't going to get prison guards and people resisting this, because one of the major things about safety in prisons is to keep them busy. You've got them doing something. They're not sitting around thinking about stabbing a guard they might be doing, some of them might be doing that. But, you know, there are people make mistakes, go to prison. I'm a big believer in fulfilling your sentence. A lot of states don't do that anymore. But anyway, he says the state pays $60,000 a year to incarcerate a prisoner. And he says if they get college degrees, then major that'll help them. You know, don't get me started, but we're sending too many people to college. I'm becoming a big fan of this guy, Mike Rowe, the guy that has the Dirty Works or Dirty Jobs TV show. Have you read his background? He even sang in an opera to learn to develop his voice. He started programs to help high school students and the poor minutes. Go look him up on Wikipedia, and most of that stuff's on there is accurate. He's an incredible guy. He does the Ford ad, the Ford selling the Ford 150 truck or something like that. I've never seen the show, the Dirty Works or Dirty Jobs. I forget what it is, but I'm gonna take a look at it. College degrees for prisoners, that might be back. Drug-filled balloons, speaking of prisons, state police are investigating a report that a woman smuggled drug-filled balloons to her Western Pennsylvania inmate boyfriend by passing them mouth-to-mouth during a kiss. They say it happened on January 31st. They reported a little bit late. The Associated Press is not naming the suspects because police say they won't be charged until crime labs confirm the presence of the drugs. And they found this by checking the inmate's bowel movements, his stool. That's one of the unfun jobs in prison. They actually do stuff like that. Okay. We're in wintertime, right? And I guess this has been a disorder in the big mental disease book for a long time. But psychiatrists say there's been a tremendous amount of SAD. Do you know what they mean? Seasonal affective disorder this winter. Much of the nation has been grappling with severe winter. No kidding. This is reported in Atlanta CBS. And forecasts do not indicate any signs of relief. And people, psychologists have found out, a clinical psychiatrist first described the condition, defines it on his website as a type of depression that occurs regularly every autumn and winter when the days get short and dark. Smile when your days are... Yes, the weather can affect your disposition. I love it. I wonder how much government money has been spent supporting him and his research. I wanted to talk more about this tonight, but I won't. They arrested six guys in New York City in the largest cockfighting bust that's ever happened in New York City. And they seized 3,000 birds. And people invest millions of dollars in these cockfights. I've never seen one, but I've heard about people doing them outside of a city I used to live in. They're saying the Attorney General in New York says cockfighting is a cruel, abusive, and barbaric practice that tortures animals, endangers the health and safety of the public, and is known to facilitate other kinds of crimes. So these six guys, they get their mugshots up there. You know how some mugshots look criminal? These guys look, they look pretty criminal. Hope they're not listening. Got one more. No, we don't. We'll skip that. Okay, we've had our green tip. Had one more story for you about green stuff, but looks like I got dumped. Oh, here's the professor sitting in the dumpster. Associate professor of biological sciences at Houston Tillotson University moved into a dumpster Tuesday, planning to live there for a year. Working with students, he plans to show how one could live in a dumpster using much less space and energy than Americans typically consume. The overarching goal, he says, is to test whether one can have a pretty good life while treading lightly on the planet, all from a dumpster that is 1% the size of the average new American home. Good luck, Professor Wilson. I hope you have a wonderful time in your dumpster. I wonder if he has rooms. Mike, what do you think? Does he have rooms in his dumpster? If he has, they can't be too large. Well, that's it for the news tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Let's move on to our show. We're going to listen to Gangbusters. It's going to take me a while to get this one cranked up, and this is called the Chicago Tunnel Gang. And we're going to listen to their story. And these guys are interesting, and they're big. And this is all based on actual fact. And so here we go with the Chicago Tunnel Gang, a Gangbusters radio show from way back when.
Gangbusters. Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories. Gangbusters has asked Lieutenant Thomas J. McGrath, retired of the Chicago Police Department, to narrate by proxy tonight's case.
Thank you, Don Gardner. But first, I'd like to mention that one of your Gangbusters listeners, a Missouri sheriff, just last Sunday apprehended a murder suspect from Ohio whose descriptions he had first heard on Gangbusters. I think that the sheriff and Gangbusters deserve a lot of credit for this latest assist to law enforcement.
Well, thank you, Lieutenant McGrath. As a matter of fact, we hope to have the sheriff himself tell the story of his capture to our Gangbusters listeners on a later program. But now, how about tonight's case?
Well, Don, this case had its beginnings in the city of Chicago just about a year ago on a cold, windy morning. Inside the candy store she ran, Bella Mama, as she was known, straightened the magazines left poured over by the kids who dropped in on the way to school to spend their nickels playing her punch boards. She heard a bell on the front door tinkle and looked up to see a slightly built, red-haired man come in out of the cold.
Hello, Bella.
Nina.
If you expect war, I'm going to Florida.
It's coming. Don't worry. It's coming. You got a scratch sheet, sir?
You know 11 o'clock comes the scratch sheet. Hey, I just ran out the magazine. Keep your hands off, huh?
Okay. Gonna do something waiting for Nick.
Nick's here in the back.
He told me he's going to get a haircut.
He's getting a haircut in the box.
You're kidding.
In Joliet, bitch, he carried the prey to the barber. So Nick let him practice and save a few cents.
Yeah. Don't make any difference when Harry puts him. Save a few cents. That's important, huh?
Sure, it's important.
Yeah, I know. In fact, huh?
I'm just telling you, no?
Bring me a scratch sheet when they get here, will you, Bella Mama?
I bring.
Hello, Nick.
Come in, Ron. Hold your head still, will you, Nick?
Yeah, bro, Harry, I'm getting nervous.
Okay. Your next break.
No, thanks. What's the matter? I'm doing a beautiful job on Nick. Just get through and keep the hair from running down the back of my neck.
So you'll take a bath.
Be careful about them baths, Nick. They run up the water bills. You got some objection to saving money?
I make bigger, spend bigger. 10 cent tip to a barber? I think nothing about it.
Okay, you don't have to get wise.
Everything sent? Says it'll ever be.
Okay.
I want a clean job.
Don't spill the gas.
Don't spill it, Red. The worst.
It's an easy mark, Nick. 15 to 20,000.
No less.
How much? Cut the hair. Okay, but after that fall, I'll throw the scissors right down the suit.
That's not a bunch.
The only way I can get there about 11 o'clock in the morning. Maybe a few minutes sooner, a few minutes later.
And the burglar alarm?
2 cashier's cages. Foot button in each of them.
Foot button?
Hey, that's not good.
Cut the hair,
will you? I can't even have an opinion around here.
What about the gift shop next door?
Yeah. That's the ticket on it, Nick. It's a one-man outfit. The guy opens up for business about 9 in the morning.
Okay. We do it that way. Will we have any trouble getting in the gift shop?
None that I can see, Nick. There's a window in the alley. 2 minutes with a Jimmy, and we're inside. Hey, what's the gift shop got to do with this? We're taking the check cash and outfit. What do we want with the gift shop?
Didn't they say haircut, will you?
Tell me what the gift shop has got to do with it. Now finish the haircut. See, that's the only thing I got to do with this is cut your hair. You know, I got a stake in this thing too, you know.
We got a burglar alarm to worry about. We can't walk into the joint and hit it just like that. One of those cashiers will step on the button.
Well, what do you need the gift shop for?
You tell him, Red.
Tell him yourself.
Well, somebody tell me. Look, we break in the gift shop the night before.
So?
We go to work on the wall.
What war?
What war do you think? The war between the gift shop and the check cashing joint.
Oh.
We cut it down to a thin layer of plaster. The truck delivers the money bags. The truck goes. We take a sledgehammer, knock out the plaster, and we're in the joint.
Well, what's the matter? Walking in the front door is too simple for us. We got to make it a big production.
Look, we knock out the wall. We're in back of the cashier's cage. We can see that they don't put their foot on the button. We make a cleaner getaway.
Well, I don't know. Hey, what do
guy that runs the gift shop. What's he going to do? He's going to stand around and help us?
We'll take care of him.
Yeah, and his customers. Who's going to take care of them?
There won't be any customers.
Ah, the shape will be down. They'll be on my side.
Closed on account of death in the family.
Nick.
What?
It's after nine.
Five after nine.
Hey, it's 5 after 9. Just keep your head down.
When is he coming?
What do you think? He's a railroad conductor? He can be 5 minutes late. He owns a store.
Yeah, and for just that reason, he ain't going to like the hole we cut in this wall.
Shut up, will you, Harry? And there it is. Yeah, sure, we're down to the last layer of plastic. Don't worry. One good work was such a way through. They think it's meant for Mars.
Mars. If this is Mars, sir.
Okay. We jump him as soon as he gets inside.
Now, Red.
Now, Red business.
I know how you are with a buck.
They'll cut it half in two right now. There's plenty of time.
Cut it half in two right now.
Okay, if you want it that way.
Yeah, I want it that way.
What happens about Harry when he rises up? What's the matter? You don't think there's enough water in the lake?
Yeah, I guess there's plenty.
But we need him on the other job, so we start. Okay, then?
Yeah, okay.
Come on. Let's split it half in two.
So, Don, within an hour after this sensational robbery, the ringleaders were already planning to dispose of the weakest member of the gang and share the money between themselves. But what criminals consider a weak link often proves the strongest wedge for investigating authority. Now back to gangbusters.
Lieutenant McGrath, you were telling us that a gang of bandits led by Nick LaCoco held up a Chicago currency exchange and robbed it of a large sum of money.
That's right, Don. And the first move of the police was to thoroughly question the witnesses in the case for information that might lead to an identification of these men. The next morning, Captain Rogers and the Chicago detectives went to the hospital where the gift shop proprietor was taken for treatment as a result of the blow on the head he received. While the victim rested, Captain Rogers sat alongside his bed attempting to get facts that would be valuable in the investigation.
Now, Mr. Klein, how much of a look did you get at these men?
Much at all. I'm afraid they hit me almost as soon as I walked into the store.
Would you be able to recognize any of them if you saw them again?
The one that dragged me in back, I don't think I'd recognize his face, but when he was pulling me, I did notice something.
Oh? What?
But he thought I was unconscious, and I wanted him to think I was, so he wouldn't hit me again. But when he was dragging me, I noticed he had a tattoo on his arm.
Huh? Which arm?
Let's see now. He's pulling me backwards. Yes, it was right arm, between the wrist and the elbow.
Do you remember what kind of a tattoo it was, Mr. Klein?
It was a girl, I think, a bathing beauty.
You sure of that?
Oh, I'm pretty sure, Jimmy.
Well, I think this will be a lot of help to us, Mr. Klein. If anything turns up, we'll be in touch with you. Hello, Salama.
Oh, hi. Hey. It's not safe.
Look, I don't care what's safe anymore. I'm trying to locate Nick.
Well, I haven't seen him since yesterday, not since the cops was around. You didn't call him at the hotel?
Yeah, I called him, but he ain't there. I gotta get in touch with him. He's got something of mine.
You know, Harry, I'd like to help you, but I don't know nothing.
Okay. Give me a change for a quarter. I'll try to call him again.
Sure.
You, ain't seen Red either, huh?
No, neither. Listen, Harry, the cops was here. You get in trouble.
Give me the change.
Sure.
I'll try him once more. You're right there.
I'll get it.
Okay, Harry.
Hello, Bella Mama.
Hi, Dr. Bella Mama.
Is it Nick?
Harry?
Yeah, it's Harry.
I've been trying to reach you all over.
What do you think I've been trying to do? I want my dough.
Red, maybe we had to fly. You
think
what
happened?
You spent last night
taking the key. And you had to leave me. Well, listen, I need the dough. Where can I meet you?
We decided to pull another chance tomorrow and see the draws. Pick up tonight. You know where.
Yeah, I know where, but what about now? I want my end.
You'll get it. You'll get it. We take what we get tomorrow, we're gonna together and split up the whole business.
But I need it now.
Be there tonight. We'll talk about it.
What's to talk about?
Be there.
Come on, Nick. Let's start splitting up the dough right now. This is the second job.
Right now, we got more to think about than splitting up. There's a million cops in the neighborhood. Traffic's pretty bad, Aaron.
That ain't good. Well, look, this is the second job I broke my back over, and I ain't seen a dollar yet.
Hold on, all right, quick, yeah?
What's that? Listen, Harry, the traffic's heavy. Three guys in the car upstairs. Now, go on. You take the street car to Bella Mama's out court.
Now, wait. You know what I mean? Snappy, really, every cop in town is headed this way.
Okay, give me the score. I'll take it to Bella Mama's.
Get going, will you? We can't stay here.
Go on, I'll phone in an hour. Okay, but be sure you do. They'll phone tomorrow, right, Red. He'll never want to talk on the phone again.
Identification, the guy with the tattoo.
Oh?
Yeah. She nailed one picture immediately. Harry Wagner. This one.
Oh, good. Good work, Sergeant. Have you got a line on his present whereabouts?
The records show his last address.
Oh, I'll be right with you, Sergeant.
Captain Rogers.
Oh? Where? Cedar Grove? Cedar Grove. Okay, we'll get going out there. See you. Come on, Sergeant.
What's up?
Another currency exchange stick-up. Same tunnel game. Let's get out there.
I'm right with you.
Is this Bella Mamet?
Is that you, Nick?
Yeah, it's me, Harry.
Where are you anyway?
Never mind where we are.
Well, listen, where can I meet you? I want my head.
What in?
What in? Do you think the dome knows, don't you? Hey, what's going on?
That's too much money for you, Harry.
Oh, listen, Nick, I got a right to my cut.
I'll give you a right to something else. Now get your things together and get out of town.
Out of town?
Yeah, and the farther the better for you.
Give me some of it. I
got it right. Didn't you just hear me tell you to blow town?
I don't leave without my cut.
Okay, Harry. I'll send a couple of guys over to see you.
What for?
What for do you think? You're going to get pushed.
No, I think that... Don't send no guys. I'll get out. Just give me a chance to go home and get myself together.
I'll give you nothing. All right. You like the way I handle it? Not too well, no. You think you could have done better? You got his cut right scared him to death. He might want another free haircut sometime. The more he's scared, the faster he's out of town. Nick, you're a wonder. With Harry. But just think twice before you try something like that on me.
Open up, Harry! Open up!
Let's push the door in, Sergeant.
Looks like that's the only way we'll get in. He's got a bullet in the inside.
All right. Together.
All right. Once more.
Gibbon.
Again.
Okay, must be around someplace. Here's the closet. Watch him now.
Okay, Harry. Come out of that closet. Come out of there and we'll shoot through the door. Come on.
Now, listen, right on.
Let go, guys, please. I'll get out of town. Tell me you can keep my cut. I'll get out.
Hold on there.
No, 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 Nick. I don't want to get pushed. I'll get out. He can have... He can have my end.
Your end of what, Harry? The tunnel job?
You.
Who are you guys? He didn't send you, did he? The law. Yeah, Harry. We're law. What were you saying about Nick? Nick? Nick, I don't know any such guy, Nick.
Well, you don't, huh? Well, come on, let's go downtown. We'll see how much you do know.
Come on, Nick. How you doing?
Phenomenal.
Thanks. You buying a drink?
You've got plenty of dough. So have you.
Listen, for the last time, don't make any more cracks about me being type of an owl.
Okay, together. Yeah, you hear anything from Harry?
Yeah.
It's the last town, okay.
Good night, sir.
Look, Red, I got another guy lined up and another job. Prettier than the last, too. So.
What do we do with the other guy after the job?
Something like Harry, maybe.
Or is it me this time?
Now, Red,
watch your step, Nick. Harry and me are entirely different guys.
Always in one.
Hey, Boston, over here.
Captain, I say Harry don't know any more than he's told us.
Nothing doing on that hotel address he gave for Nick, huh?
No. Nick checked out 3 days ago. The rest, him too.
I only guess Bella Mama's candy store is the only bet, huh?
But it's a good bet.
Okay. Keep a setup on the place. One of them's bound to show up there sooner or later, from force of habit, if nothing else. When one shows up, he'll lead us to the other.
Now back to Gangbusters.
Hello, Bella.
Oh, Red. Red, you don't like Bella Mama no more.
I love you, Bella Mama. I love you like a mother.
I don't see you no more.
Very nice things, sir. Got a fast woman business.
Mm-hmm. How's the Nick?
Oh, he's fine. The richer he gets, the more worried he gets about breaking the dollar.
And, Harry?
Well, don't see Harry much anymore. Mm-hmm. Are you going to raise his phone?
Sure, Red. Help yourself over there.
Tell Mama, don't play the horse. That's the only thing I don't like about you. You remind me too much of Nick. Keep the game. Hey, Nick, what's out in Willamette? It's your hombre, what do you think? You sure nothing else? What do you mean? I just want to tell you, I got about 20 bucks in my pocket, and that's all.
What do you think I'm doing?
20. Did I get an idea you're going to get me out there and pull a gun?
Now, Red.
Don't now, Red, me. You don't think I'm doping up the car to ride a 10 grand with me, do you?
I told you, this is a job tonight.
Okay, partner. This is a job tonight. It's like the other place right
now. What's the matter?
I think we're being dogs.
Huh?
Yeah, it's sedan in back. Two guys.
How should we?
Hold on, we'll find out.
They're staying with us, huh? Give them more, Red. An awful lot of traffic. Here they come. The cops are right.
Hold on, I'm going to take your time.
Watch it, Red. They're going to grab it.
Let's go.
Okay, don't need to
redeem
move.
But yeah, I didn't
take him down.
Okay. You,
keep your hands on it. That's more like it, Nick.
I don't know, Captain, except that racing sheet from Bella Mama's.
Okay. Go on, walk over to the sidewalk.
Go on, walk, he said.
And that, Don, was the end of this notorious gang of tunnel bandits. The ringleaders are now serving maximum terms of 40 years each in the Illinois State Penitentiary at Statesville.
Well, thank you, Lieutenant Thomas J. McGrath, for this most enlightening case history. And gangbusters, congratulations to all the members of the Chicago Police Department who participated in the investigation leading to the arrest and conviction of these dangerous criminals. Tonight's case was dramatized by Stan Lingness and directed by Ted Corday, with Ted DeCorsia and Frank Riddick in leading roles. Don Gardner City. Gangbusters is a Philip H. Lord production.
Well, I hope you enjoyed Gangbusters. You can go to archive.org or you can go to dumb.com. Have you ever been to dumb.com? But it lists games, videos, music videos, jokes, quotes, insults, photos, comics, riddles, all sorts of things. And e-cards, I guess you can get those off of Dumb also, but there'll be a lot of radio shows are divided up into comedies, detectives, dramas, mysteries, westerns, and all kinds of other kinds of shows. But Dumb.com is a very, very interesting site. I'm not exactly sure the origin of the name, but I guess we get smart when we go to dumb.com. Another thing I wanted to add to the show is start doing something for the almanac. I always get my almanac each year, and I just got my 2014 almanac, and it takes you quite a while to read it. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages, but it's got all kinds of things, you know, and facts and these kind of things. You can go to work and pull little tricks on our friends. But don't you know, what's the most sold thing on the internet? And they won't know, but you can go to the almanac, page 365, and it'll list the thing, books. Second is clothes. 66% of people buy books on the internet, 66% buy clothes, 66% buy travel arrangements, that type of thing. Or you could say use of selected cell phone. It gives you everything in the world about the world. You can look at Russia, Ukraine, on and on and on. But most people use their cell phone, wouldn't you believe it, to talk. 82% text message. That surprises me a little since I've never sent a text message in my life, and I'm still trying to figure out why I would. But on and on and on, it takes you right down to the 15% that check into locations using their cell phone. But anyway, I would highly recommend that taking a look at that almanac. And if the thing sells for, my gosh, what did it sell for? I don't know, $13.99. And it's going to take you all year to probably read it, but very interesting. Got to have children. That's something that they would also enjoy, too. I wanted to mention a couple other books. We always say we have a book talk segment and then don't do anything about it. But these books that are in the answer format, one is called the Handy History Answer Book. Have you ever seen those? It's about 600-700 pages, starts with the beginning of time, before time, and goes right up to the modern day, but everything is in a question and answer format. So it'll ask a question, for example, let me get one out here. It'll ask, let me get this something here. What is Mecca? Why is Mecca a holy city for Muslims? What were the Crusades? And then each answer is a paragraph or two or three, some no more than a page. In other words, you can read a question and answer at a time. You don't have to feel like you got to pick up the book and read a chapter. Here's one: how does the Catholic Church determine who will be Pope? I mean, you'll know that. If you go back far enough, you can get stuff. What were the hallmarks of ancient Egypt? When did the Iron Age begin? And each one of these will be three or four paragraphs, two paragraphs that will be the answer. So I highly recommend that. Then there's another one, the Handy Anatomy Answer Book. My gosh, I feel like I'm going to be a medical doctor after reading it. And it's the same way. Everything is in question and answer kind of format. So anyway, that's a book talk. You pick those up at your bookstore. I got mine at Barnes and, what's it called? BAM. Barnes and, what, they merged with somebody. What's BAM stand for? Barnes and Noble, right? No, Barnes and, who they merge with? Somebody. Anyway, that's where I got mine. BAM, you can find them. But they have these prices like this, these books I bought for $9, these answer books, and they're, you know, 400-700 pages, and they're current. So who knows how they get away with that. But they have nice sales at that particular bookstore. All right, that's it for tonight. And I think we'll do what we usually do at this time. We'll have Vera Lynn check us out, and she'll be singing for us. We'll meet again.
We'll meet again. Don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Behind.